gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice Stevie, Jim Ward, who's here. Or me, Stephanie what? Miller. And
he's bravely here despite the outbreak of swine flu.
Yes. And I'm not even wearing my Michael Jackson mask.
Like everybody in Mexico
yet.
Is.
Exactly.
I'll be doing that soon.
Oh, my God.
Will that explain your unexplained absence on Friday?
Yes, it was swine flu.
It was swine flu. All right.
Slime flu?
Slime.
Slime.
Did you say slime flu?
Apparently I did.
Slime flu. I had slime flu. That's what
Hey, would you like some Jim Ward swine flu fun facts? This is very interesting.
Okay. My maternal grandparents actually met in the sanitarium in 1918. He was a World War I vet, he was one of the devil dogs.
Okay.
They were both in the sanitarium with swine flu.
Really?
And had either of them passed away, I wouldn't be here.
Oh, my goodness.
So... A little swine flu fun fact.
Quite a little story.
In fact, swine flu is the reason I'm here.
That's Jim Ward is here despite having swine flu on Friday and his grandparents
and
having
it. She was a nurse, actually.
Wow.
So,
okay,
even nurses can get
okay,
sick.
Okay, then. All right.
But but it's a very serious issue, actually.
Yeah.
So, potential global pandemic. Well, that's redundant. But
When Jenna Napolitano's on TV on the weekend, something's up.
Yeah. Yeah. All so, right. Wash your hands a lot.
Yeah, exactly.
I do anyway because I have OCD.
And don't use public transportation. Oh, we're in L.A. What am I saying? Public transportation.
All right. Yeah, whenever there's an announcement that public transit is down in L.A., that's the first time ever where that we actually have
we
it.
We have public transit.
Huh?
Really? I have ridden the subway
so
here in Los Angeles.
Really?
I went downtown
yes.
to the Staples Center and watched a basketball game.
I seriously didn't know we had a subway.
Yeah.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah.
It's great if you live in North Hollywood and you're going downtown.
That's
or
it.
To Hollywood. But that's pretty much that's the extent of it.
Otherwise, you can't get there from
no.
here.
No.
All right.
I've actually taken the subway home from your house.
Really? Is there a subway stop that close to?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Huh. Weird. Okay. Anyway, hey, guess what? They just did a study that says getting up early sucks.
Yeah.
We didn't know that. That is amazing.
Tell me something I don't know.
Jim overslept. That's essentially, that's your only excuse in morning radio.
What?
Yes, here are the fun facts. You guys will be surprised to hear this since we go to bed at
stupid o'clock.
Get up at
insane o'clock.
Mm-hmm. Smug early birds take note. Night owls actually have more mental stamina than those who awaken at the crack of dawn, according to new research. Or
crack of
if
dawn.
You've ever worked in morning radio.
I wish I could sleep into the crack of
exactly.
dawn.
Exactly.
I haven't slept until the crack of dawn in years.
Exactly. A professor of clinical neuropsychology said it's the late risers who have the advantage and can outperform the early birds.
Exactly.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
Using magnetic resonance imaging, the pair conducted an experiment that measures alertness and ability to concentrate in 30
what?
Subjects who were naturally extreme early or late risers. Get this. The early, extreme early risers, they get up between 5 and 6. Slackers.
You're kidding me.
And the late risers at noon. After 10 hours of being awake.
Who sleeps until noon?
Those would be the late risers in the study, you see.
Musicians.
And comedians, too.
What time do you get up?
What time? I get up at 3.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I try, and then I normally don't get out of bed till 4.
Sleep until 4. Feel so invigorated.
After 10 hours of being awake, the early birds showed reduced activity in the brain areas linked to attention span.
Wait.
What was I talking about just now?
I don't remember. What?
Was I talking about the torture mem? See how I did that? That was funny.
There's swine flu. There's a lady
span.
On TV talking about swine flu. She's pretty.
All right. That's a study that we didn't need to...
Suzanne Malvo. She's pretty.
Jim.
Were we talking about something?
Okay,
I'm sorry.
Nothing.
My
Thank
mind
you.
Wandered.
See, that was a little impromptu skit
because,
we did.
Yes.
About our early risers. Don't have a good attention.
Yeah. Well, Friday morning, I got some sleep.
yes, thank you, Jim.
I
at our expense. Thank
forgot
you.
Forgot to set my alarm. Woke up and it was, wow, it's awfully light. It's 7:30. Oh, crap.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a very long day. I was up earlier than usual because we were preparing to run the show ourselves, and Chris and I.
Yes.
Because my doggy passed away on a Thursday.
Yeah.
So I have no sleep, Jim, and you weren't here. Thank you for your support.
But,
okay.
Hmm? What?
Never mind. All right, the important thing.
It was a very
thing,
long day, and I
it's all right. The important thing
and
is.
And you left early on Wednesday, I might add.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah, because I had
I think I'm leaving in like 10 minutes and you're doing the rest of this show. Okay. I think I'm owed some. All right. The important thing is entertainment-wise.
Yes.
How is that Sean Hannity getting waterboarded thing going?
Oh.
Didn't he offer to be to be waterboarded?
Yeah.
Have you ever been waterboarded?
No, but Ollie North has, and I talked to him about it.
Did you see Sean Hannity offered to be waterboarded? Which I say, you're here.
And would you consent to be waterboarded so we could get the truth out of you?
Yeah, sure.
We can waterboard you?
Sure.
Are you busy on Sunday?
Hannity volunteers to be waterboarded and says he'll do it for the families of the troops.
I'll do it for charity. I'll do it for the troops' families.
I wouldn't do it.
I would pay lots of cash money. I swear to God.
Will you give the Keith Olbermann $1,000 every second?
I don't know if I can afford that kind of TV scratch.
For every second you last, $1,000. $1,000 a second, Sean.
I'll let you do it.
Thank you, Ken. Ken in Cleveland. All right, let's check some entertainment news, shall we, kids? Here we go.
There's no business like show business.
It's time for Tinsel Talk. Let's find out what's going on in Hollywood with Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. Thank you very much. The headline is Madonna has dinner with Jesus. Oh, again. Madonna and her on-again man, Jesus Luz.
Jesus.
He's
Portuguese. I mean, Brazilian.
Yes. Anyway, at the Waverly Inn in New York, they responded to us after having dinner. I believe we have a comment from God.
God, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm reading in the Daily Firmament this morning that Madonna and Jesus are having dinner together. Me, damn it, why am I always the last one to know anything around here? Supposed to be omniscient for me sakes, but you wouldn't know it when it comes to those two. Well, handed to me, I'm starting to think those two are plotting something. I mean, it's a Jewish mother's prerogative to dote on her son. I get that. Or even in her case, to think he's God. Well, because he is. But I don't get why I can't be invited once in a while. Me almighty, who is it that gave him the food and the drink and the time to eat it? Me, that's who. That lot of appreciation I get for it, though. It's not like I'd ever run out of wine if I was there. What with Junior around or anything to eat since I got the manna concession for all eternity. Maybe that boy needs to get married. Can always pull the Immaculate Conception dodge on another mortal gal so she wouldn't be slumming. No, if I did that, Mary'd have the divine cojones as door knockers. Better think of something else. Oh, I know. I'll bring Mary Magdalene around for a weekend at the Pearly Gates and just happen to have them bump into each other. His mother always had a sweet spot for that gal. It might just bleed off a little tension. I swear to me, the gyrations I have to go through and me, almighty lord of all creation. What? Jesus and Mary aren't having dinner? What? It's Madonna and Jesus, the Brazilian supermodel? Sweet suffering son of mine, I am out of it. No, don't cancel Mary Magdalene's visit. There's a little bumping I'd like to do myself, if you know what I mean.
It took a moment to say.
Oh, my God.
Exactly.
And finally, the headline is now casting Octomom, the musical.
Jazz hands.
Do you spare...
Jazz cervix.
Do you bear a striking resemblance to a certain mother of 14? Do you have extensive background in musical theater and improv? Have you given up any hopes of an actual career? Then maybe you could star in the new Octomom the Musical. Described as a fast-paced, triptych musical parody, the Octomusical is looking for someone who is funny, whimsical, and can command authority.
Hmm.
Musical set to open at a small theater in Los Angeles, no kidding, called Bang.
Yeah. I drive past it all the time. It's on Fairfax.
Yes.
All
right. Who do we have?
We have the Octomom's manager.
Oh, good. Thank God.
Ah, yeah, it's going to be great. You've never seen anything like it. It'll be an extravaganza that'll make Cecil B. DeMille wish he'd lived in the age of in vitro fertilization. A cast of thousands, singing, dancing, diaper changing in formation. We've had some problems to solve, of course. Miss Suleiman's collagen injections have made her singing a little difficult to understand. Think Mick Jagger after a stroke. And, of course, with her stretch marks over, you know, skimpy costumes. Anyone wants to see a leading lady strut the Random House Road Atlas for 2 hours. You know what I'm saying? Getting the dancers and chorus line to consist completely of infants have made rehearsal scheduling a nightmare. We're going through a number, and then the mommies are on stage breastfeeding, the babies are pooping and spitting up. I've worked with actors for 40 years, and I always called them big babies. I take it all back. But anyway, it's all going to be worth it just for the finale. Think high kicking. Think strip bar in Malaysia. Think babies instead of hard-boiled eggs at ping pong balls, and you get a glimpse of what's going to happen.
Oh.
A word to potential audience members, when you're choosing your attire for the evening, think Gallagher, and you'll be all right. Huh? Know what I mean? Know what I'm saying? Curtain, going up!
Ew. That's all for Tinsel Talk. I'm here all week. Tell your friends if you'd like more Jim Ward, Balderall.
Jim Ward's apocryphal but true, which you can reach through the Stephen Miller website, stephaniemiller.com. There's a tile ad right there.
Wow.
And there's some new material you want to check out.
Mm-hmm.
Queens Are Wild, not for the kids. Not for the kids. It's not safe for work or anybody with any common sense.
I'm guessing there's a few things on the Jim Ward site, maybe not for the kids so much. Okay, in these hard economic times, please whip out the tiny violin, won't you, for Elton John and Paul McCartney. The finances of Britain's top music stars, including Elton John and Paul McCartney, have been badly hit by the recession.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. Elton John's personal fortune fell 26% from £238 million to £175
million.
Yes?
President Obama is speaking about the swine flu outbreak
right
now.
Well, let's go to that breaking news, shall we? President Obama.
The Department of Health and Human Services has declared a public health emergency as a precautionary tool to ensure that we have the resources we need at our disposal to respond quickly and effectively. I'm getting regular updates on the situation from the responsible agencies and the Department of Health and Human Services, as well as the Centers for Disease Control will be offering regular updates to the American people. And Secretary Napolitano will be offering regular updates to the American people as well, so that they know what steps are being taken and what steps they may need to take. But one thing is clear, our capacity to deal with a public health challenge of this sort rests heavily on the work of our scientific and medical community. And this is one more example of why we can't allow our nation to fall behind. Unfortunately, that's exactly what's happened.
Thank
Federal
you, President
funding
Hoover.
In the physical sciences as a portion of our gross domestic product has fallen by nearly half over the past quarter century.
Science, science.
Time and again, we've allowed the research and experimentation tax credit, which helps businesses grow and innovate, to lapse. Our schools continue to trail other developed countries and, in some cases, developing countries. Our students are outperformed in math and science by their peers in Singapore, Japan, England, the Netherlands, Hong Kong.
Good job, No Child Left Behind.
Yeah.
Thank you, President Bush, once again.
Mm-hmm.
Another assessment shows American 15-year-olds ranked 25th in math and 21st in science when compared to nations around the world.
Moving up.
And we have watched as scientific integrity has been undermined and scientific research politicized in an effort to advance predetermined ideological agendas.
What you talking about, Willis?
We know that our country is better than this. A half century ago, this nation made a commitment to lead the world in scientific and technological innovation, to invest in education, in research, in engineering, to set a goal of reaching space and engaging every citizen in that historic mission. That was the high watermark of America's investment in research and development. And since then, our investments have steadily declined as a share of our national income. As a result, other countries are now beginning to pull ahead in the pursuit of this generation's great discoveries. Now, I believe it is not in our character, the American character, to follow. It's our character to lead. And it is time for us to lead once again.
Oh, thank God. All right. 20 minutes after the hour, back with more of the President's press conference on the public health emergency regarding swine flu and much more as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
This is not normal.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. Tomorrow, Mary Tyler Moore.
That's
on
right.
The big show in this very hour.
That's right.
Right off the top of the show. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. All right, we will talk about how many people have died, how many people are infected with swine flu, and, Jim, this will shock you, and don't give the answer yet, but you'll be shocked to know which party fought funding for pandemic preparedness.
I can't imagine.
Here's a hint. It's the same party that thinks volcano monitoring is crazy. It's crazy voodoo.
It's witchcraft.
Witchcraft.
All you need to do is exercise the volcano witchcraft. And the pigs. Mm-hmm. That's all you need to do.
Mm-hmm. Though I know it's strictly... Oh, my God!
All right. Let's finish
volcano
up celebrity...
monitoring.
Celebrity stack. We had whipped out the tiny violin for... you know who is also hitting this recession, Jim? Is Elton John, Paul McCartney. Paul McCartney has seen his fortune fall by 60 million to 440 million pounds. That's all he has left now.
Wow.
Despite the unidextrous lag, whatever you call her. Amy Winehouse saw her fortune halve from 10 million pounds last year to 5 million this month.
What
could she be spending money on? All right. I feel
barely
bad.
Cover her methadone.
No,
I have no information.
All right. And Courtney Love says that Pam Anderson is living in a trailer park.
Huh?
She said Pam Anderson doesn't even have a credit card. She lives in Paradise Cove, which is in Malibu, but it's a trailer park in Malibu.
I suppose if you're going to be living in a trailer park, you could do a lot worse than Malibu.
I guess those Baywatch residuals are trickled.
All right. Delisted.com, one of our favorite purveyors of the snark.
Mm-hmm.
They are talking about the, what is that, the reality show, I'll Help, I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here?
Something like that, yeah.
Yes. NBC announced 7 of the 10 celebrities that will be tossed in the middle of the jungle in Costa Rica. The one will not be Rod Blagojevich, judge said
no. Computer says no.
D-Listed writes, NBC announced 7 of the 10 celebrities, ... that will be tossed in the middle of a jungle in Costa Rica. So far, the cast includes Janice Dickinson,
who?
Sanjaya, Stephen Baldwin, John Saley, and Tori Wilson.
Basically,
the who's who, no, really, who of Hollywood?
John Saley?
He's a former basketball player guy.
No wonder I don't know.
Whatever.
Yeah. When Janice D is the most famous person on the show, you know there's a problem. According to
I know who Janice Dickinson is.
Yes. She's that person from the other reality show.
No, she was like the first supermodel.
Really?
That's what she did first.
Oh, right,
yes.
Right. Yeah,
she's like 80 now.
She's not 80, Christopher.
What?
All right. And as you know, all of West Hollywood in deep mourning this weekend because B. Arthur died, which was very sad. She was 86.
Also, Dorothy's Zbornak.
In Golden Girls.
Yes.
But she's Maude.
No,
she will always
Dorothy.
Be Maude. She passed away Saturday at 86 years old of cancer.
Yeah.
We shall miss her. Although I do a tribute to her every time I have a cold. Don't I sound exactly like B. Arthur?
Yeah.
Walter.
Especially.
Or Eileen Brennan.
Especially
right.
Listen to tapes.
I saw her one-woman show, actually, on Broadway, and she was hilarious. And she gave a delicious recipe for lamb, which I,
really?
I to this day use. Yes.
Really?
It was very weird. She kept interrupting, like, monologues about her life to finish the lamb recipe. It was hilarious.
All righty, then.
All right. 28 minutes after the hour, what you don't know could kill you. Unless you stay tuned, and then I'll tell you the latest on swine flu as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I mean, you have filled out something wacky. I like what you're doing with your boobs.
Thank you. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. The breaking news, of course, over the weekend, the swine flu.
Yeah. There was nothing about it on
declared
Friday.
A public health emergency for swine flu. Janet Napolitano, Homeland Security Secretary.
We're preparing in an environment where we really don't know ultimately what the size or seriousness of this outbreak is going to be.
It's kind of nice to have an administration that does prepare in advance, though, and err on the side of caution instead of the Bush administration Hurricane Katrina response. What the hell? What a storm! this will really shock, maybe nobody listening to this show. Guess who fought pandemic preparedness, Jim? Guess who cut the funding for that?
The Republicans.
Yes. You know, this is the party of no ideas or bad ideas. However, they also seem to have incredibly bad luck.
Yeah.
Right when Bobby Jindal mocks her volcano monitoring, a huge volcano explodes almost immediately. So they had just fought to cut the funding for pandemic preparedness, because that's crazy. That's pork. That's ridiculous.
We've gotten rid of all disease. Why do we need a pandemic?
Almost immediately, the breaking news. Oh, it's a pandemic outbreak of epic proportions.
Isn't it a pandemic yet, but,
no, but it could be. Could I have my fine American music, please? You know, we've had David am I saying his name right?
Obie.
The Wisconsin Democrat on the show. White House Appropriations Committee Chairman David Obie, the Wisconsin Democrat, who has long championed investment in pandemic preparation. Kind of a forward-thinking lawmaker, isn't he? Included roughly $900 million for that purpose in this year's emergency stimulus bill. He was ridiculed by conservative operatives and congressional Republicans. Obie and other advocates for the spending argued correctly that a pandemic hitting in the midst of an economic downturn can turn a recession into something far worse. With workers ordered to remain in their homes, workplaces shuttered to avoid the spread of disease, transportation systems grinding to a halt, and demand for emergency services and public health interventions skyrocketing. Yes, that would be the kind of thing that one might plan ahead for. Indeed, they suggested pandemic preparation was essential to any responsible plan for renewing the U.S. economy. Now, as the World Health Organization says, a deadly swine flu outbreak that apparently began in Mexico has spread to the U.S., but has the potential to develop into a pandemic. Obie's attempt to secure the money seems eerily prescient.
Yeah.
Also based on science and common sense, have been lacking. As the president pointed out today in his press conference. And his partisan attacks on his efforts seem not just creepy, but dangerous. Guess who was behind that? Karl Rove. He dismissed Obie's proposals as disturbing and laden with new spending programs. Rove specifically complained that Obie's proposal included $462 million for Center for Disease Control and $900 million for pandemic flu preparations.
Such a liberal claptrap.
Rove's argument was picked up by House and Senate Republicans, who made it an essential message in their attacks on the legislation. The AP reported in February, Republicans, meanwhile, plan to push for broader and deeper tax cuts to trim major spending provisions that support Democrats' longer-term policy goals, and to try to knock out what they consider questionable spending items, such as $870 million to combat the flu and $400 million to slow the spread of HIV and other sexually transmitted diseases, because that's craziness, too. Is that still out there? AIDS? No, that's ridiculous. The Republicans, here's the bad news, essentially succeeded. The Senate version of the stimulus plan included no money whatsoever for pandemic preparedness. You know, Susan Collins, who of course portrays herself as a moderate who tries to make things work in Washington. Thanks, Sus. The Senate Democratic leaders essentially bowed to Collins in the process of crafting their chamber's version of the stimulus. In doing so, they eliminated more than 80% of the modest amount of money that had been allocated for pandemic preparedness and all of the money that would have helped emergency services. Good job, spineless Democrats. Good job.
Well, they needed to get so much some Republicans on board, unfortunately, to make things
happen. But this is what you always say, Jim. This is what happens for us, you know, reaching across the aisle and trying to... And you're saying, like, they gave the president no votes, zero votes on the bill anyway. And what do we have for it? We have no pandemic preparedness funds.
And we have swine flu outbreaking everywhere.
Thank you.
Well, we need more tax cuts, clearly. Tax cuts will fix the swine flu problem, because then the pigs will be able to...
You don't get it from eating meat.
Yeah, apparently it was not from I'm going to guess Right Wing Radio is going to be all about the illegal immigrants today from Mexico. It actually came from U.S. kids going to Mexico for spring break.
So they shouldn't have let them back in the country.
Those are the confirmed cases right now. Yeah. You know, there are other possible cases around the country, and we'll see where those come from. But it was just really weird seeing footage of a soccer game going on in Mexico City yesterday.
And nobody was in the stands.
Wow.
It's just really creepy.
Officials have reported 20 U.S. cases of swine flu in 5 states so far, with the latest in Ohio and New York. Napolitano said roughly 12 million doses of the drug Tamiflu will be moved from a federal stockpile to places where states can quickly get their share if they decide they need it. Priority will be given to the 5 states with known cases so far. They are California. Texas, New York, Ohio, and Kansas.
Yeah. Except they don't really know if Tamiflu is going to work against this
particular strain, because this strain has mutated and has become one that could be spread from people to people instead of from just, you know,
exposure
swine.
To birds or swine. I guess it's a combination of bird and swine flu. It's It's all kind of...
This one's kind of scary.
Yeah.
U.S. officials will begin asking travelers about illness if they're entering the country from areas with confirmed swine flu. Passengers won't be barred, though, from getting into the U.S. They could be referred for further testing, though.
Yeah.
Dr. Richard Besser, he's the acting CDC director.
Given the reports out of Mexico, I would expect that over time we're going to see more severe disease in this country.
Yeah. Invest in surgical masks.
Yeah, that was all over in front of my paper yesterday. I was like, what happened?
Everyone in Mexico City is wearing.
Who's wearing all? Why are we wearing masks?
In fact, Dr. Sanjay Gupta was reporting from Mexico City this morning. He had a mask on.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah. Uh huh.
I think he had a mask on when he was on our show last week, but just to. Just because he's heard of the show.
Yeah, you know. He didn't want to catch any cooties from you.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
He knows, God knows what I have. All right, Dr. Richard Besser again.
Well, it's time for people to be forward thinking about, well, if it were my child's school, what would I do? How would I be prepared for that kind of an event?
Yeah, that, you know what, I got to tell you, that is scary. As you know, I'm a childless loser.
Right.
But parents, that is scary because, you know, I don't know what it is with kids, but they pick stuff
little
up.
Germ wagons, yeah.
They're little germ wagons. Well, no offense to any of you and your germ wagons that are listening.
Their immune systems are still developing.
Right.
So,
yeah.
And getting those diseases is what
helps to build up their immune system.
Right.
Yeah.
I remember a couple of Christmases ago, I spent Christmas Eve projectile vomiting, like is something out of a horror film.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember my cleaning lady at the time had brought her little girl right before Christmas. And when I told her I was really sick for Christmas, she goes, oh, my baby had that. I was like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, yeah.
Great.
Yes. Yes, I remember that. But that's scary, you know, because then you just think, do you err on the side of caution and keep your kids out of school entirely? Or do you?
I was listening to some talk radio yesterday, and the host said, yeah, I'm keeping my kid out of school until we know what's going on.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, see, and then the president talking about our grades, and they're just going to fall farther, you see?
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, we will keep our eye on this. The president has already spoken this morning in case you missed it, and we will keep you apprised of all the breaking news.
Michelle Bachmann says swine flu's natural, so it can't hurt you. So that's good.
Does she really?
No. She's talking about carbon dioxide.
But she probably will today.
Probably will. Yeah.
That's Jim has a record of he says stuff that we think is ridiculous, and then they say it.
Yeah.
Some Republican later today will say that. Michelle Bachmann being completely devoid of any scientific knowledge. She'd be my guest as well, Jim. I agree with you. All right. Torture. A high-ranking senator calling on the president to reconsider his stand against an independent commission to look into the torture memos. We'll tell you who and what he said as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That's the smartest thing I've ever heard anyone say about anything.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 46 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. We will have in hour number three today, somebody from an expert from CNN with the latest on swine flu epidemic.
It's going to be their senior medical correspondent. So.
Oh, my.
Yeah, so she's important.
Exactly.
And she'll tell us what swine flu is and how we can keep from getting it.
Good. See, now we have those sexy television teases, don't we? Something in your refrigerator could kill you. You'll have to wait till hour number three to find out which thing.
I'm going
to
be the boy in the bubble soon.
You're going to come into work in a bubble?
A big hamster ball. And,
I love that movie, The John Travolta, Boy in the Plastic Bubble.
I was too young to watch it.
Oh, shut up.
Well?
All right. The latest on the torture controversy over the weekend Pat Leahy. See, you know, we talked about this on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
He wants an independent commission because I get a little confused about who wants what. But I'm with Dianne Feinstein. She wants to let the Senate finish their investigation. I just think that if you get too many things going, I agree with the president. It's going to get political and it's going to get replicative.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is the purview of the Justice Department. But
also the Senate Intelligence Committee, of which Dianne Feinstein is chair.
Yes. Yes. Dianne Feinstein said she hopes public outrage over the Bush-era interrogation method subsides so Congress can calmly investigate the issue. Senator Dianne Feinstein says she wants congressional hearings to move forward on the interrogation technique. She said her committee already was investigating, and the White House didn't contact her before releasing the memos. She says, what, it's going to be about 8 months, I think, is the latest.
Well, also, the former prosecutor, De La Vega, I forget her first name, was saying that if you do have these all these investigations going on, stuff tends to get buried. It goes into a black hole, and people can say, well, I can't talk about it. It's under investigation.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's better to get everything out there just so people know exactly what our government did. I mean, we may never get these guys behind bars, but at least people will know exactly what they were up to.
Yeah, yeah. See, here's what we were talking about last week, too, and, you know, another poll shows this is true, that I think the president has to be smart, not just, you know, what's the word, whether, you know, legally, but mm-hmm. politically. So there is a new poll, and it is amazing. I have to say, maybe I'm naive, but it is amazing to me that it's breaking down on exactly on partisan lines.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You would think as Americans, we would all want to say, stand up and say, look, we are against torture, and we need to prove this to the world, but it is a really partisan issue.
Republicans have no soul. That's I'm going to put it out there.
Well, some Republicans.
The poll didn't technically say that.
I know a couple of Republicans that may have a glimmer of a soul.
Anyway, this is the new Washington Post poll. His overall approval rating, 69%, Jim, as you know. That's nearly 70%.
Nearly
70% approval rating.
I thought you were
going
to make a dirty joke about it.
69, dude.
Sorry.
He gets solid marks for his handling of the economy, maintaining a better-than-2-to-1 advantage over congressional Republicans on the issue. Majorities say Obama has exceeded their expectations in his first 3 months in office, has accomplished big things, and has kept his main campaign promises. Further public optimism about the economy and the country's direction also remain on the rise since his election.
Which is why it has to be stopped, frankly. That's a certain thing, frankly, that shouldn't be done here in America. It's not American.
This is the new Washington Post ABC News poll. Overall, though, the public evenly divided on the questions of whether torture is justifiable in terrorism cases. And whether there's
people watching 24.
You gotta do it! And whether there should be official inquiries into any past illegality involving the treatment of terrorism suspects. Mm. 3/4 of Democrats say they approve of the action. 74% of Republicans are opposed.
I'm going to base all my political opinions on Gilligan's Island.
Just as good as 24, just as reality-based.
Yeah, you can make a radio out of a coconut.
That's right. But you can't fix a hole in a boat.
No!
Americans can do anything except fix a boat.
There is 51% are in favor of inquiries into the torture, 47% in opposition. So there is a slight majority in favor of having an investigation. But this is why it's such a hot potato. And I was saying the president can't be seen as being behind this personally,
right,
because there's so many problems that, you know, the country is dealing with. Now, on top of everything else, swine flu. Thank you, President Hoover, for the economy and the lack of science and the lack of pandemic preparedness.
Although Obama needs to, you know, get moving on appointing a CDC director, Centers for Disease Control director, we only have an acting director right now, as we found out yesterday.
I imagine that'll be fast-tracked at this point.
That needs to be, you know, put in toot suite.
All right, Robert.
At least it's not a choreographer.
Jazz hands!
We do not need a pandemic choreographer, Jim. Robert Gibbs, White House press secretary, on
the
torture.
The classification will be determined by a number of people, including the director of Central Intelligence and the National Security Advisor.
On whether to release further. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Representative Peter King, the right-wing tool from New York.
If the administration goes forward, or if the House Democrats go forward and try to turn this into any sort of prosecution or witch hunt, that we as Republicans, as Americans, have an obligation to, I call it a scorched earth policy, because to me that would be all-out partisan warfare. It shouldn't be a partisan issue, but they would have made an issue of national security a partisan issue. And to me, the gloves should come off, and we should do whatever we have to stop them, to block them, and obstruct them.
Wow.
Yes, to remain torturers.
Yeah.
To tell
scorched
the world
earth.
We're torturers and we don't care.
Is that political, or
just
what?
Admitted that Republicans are responsible for all of it.
Yes.
Exactly.
Looking into it would be partisan because this Republicans had started. So you we'll block it.
They must have something really big to hide because they are fighting tooth and nail.
And notice
nail
he said we as Republicans
this.
And then as an afterthought. Yeah, as Americans, I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. No, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, this couldn't be any clearer. That, you know, what was done was illegal.
Yeah,
and they have
yep.
admitted that they did it. Now, you're right, they've switched arguments to, oh, we have to, and it worked.
Yes, it was bad apples who did this horrible, horrible thing, except we ordered them to. So now it's not a horrible thing.
Did you see, what's his name, Carl Levin. Yeah, on I was watching on the Fox News. Oh.
Why were you watching Fox News?
It was an accident, trust me. Especially on the weekends, it's always an accident. You know why?
Why? Fox News will give you
damn
slang flu.
Prison documentaries, that's why.
Oh,
friggin'
yeah.
MSNBC on the weekends. It's the deal.
I hate those prison documentaries with the heat of a thousand white-hot pointy suns.
And then there's some other hour-long special on CNN or whatever. And then I'm forced to the Fox News. Anyway, but he was on with the what's his name, the right-wing tool, Kit. The man named Kit.
Kit Bond?
Kit Bond.
Yes.
At any rate,
Bond, Kit Bond.
Yeah, but he was making a point that we were making last week. And there's no response from the Bush administration on how are these people? How are they just bad apples? When clearly it has been proven now that they were following orders at Abu Ghraib. You know, this wasn't anyway.
And Charles Grain is still in prison for following those orders.
Carl Levin, what am I saying that right again?
Levin.
Carl Levin.
You're thinking Mark Levin?
He's
different guy altogether.
Yeah, exactly. He heads the Senate Armed Services Committee, so last week they issued a report linking the CIA's torture program to the military's aggressive tactics at Abu Ghraib and Gitmo. And in Afghanistan, the report led Levin and others to dismiss the Bush administration's contention that the humiliating treatment of prisoners at Abu Ghraib blamed for inflaming the Iraq insurgency amid the act of a few misguided soldiers. First of all, these are in all the memos. Using nudity, dogs, everything that was done, like we said at the time, was not some accident that they just made up by themselves. So Kit, he's a man named Kit.
Michael.
He contended.
So he was a terrible boost.
He contended that Obama's release of the memos would have the same effect of inciting people against Americans as the rogue criminal acts of U.S. soldiers at Abu Ghraib.
Hmm.
He actually, after it's been proven that these were not rogue criminal acts, he goes on and calls them again the few bad apple arguments. I don't think there's any question it would endanger all of us because I think it will enhance recruitment for all kinds of terrorists willing to come after us. Bond also accused Obama of having demoralized the CIA by revealing techniques and had, quote, absolutely destroyed our ability to get further information from terrorists.
Oh, God. You know what? The CIA did not sound demoralized when they were cheering President Obama.
It sounded, yeah, exactly. It sounded like I think someone yelled Freebird. That was a euphoric. John McCain, again this weekend, said, are you going to prosecute people for giving bad legal advice?
Computer says no.
That's not what we'd be prosecuting people for.
We
need to put this behind us. We need to move forward. There's that argument again. It's in the past. We need to move forward now.
And as you keep repeating, all crime happens in the past.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you. You know, who was it this weekend, I think, that said, I think it might have been Pat Leahy, but he was saying it's not giving bad legal advice. These are specifically people that wrote memos that said the president and the vice president are above the law.
Yes.
Exactly.
Pat Leahy said, I know some people say, let's turn the page. Frankly, I like to read the page before we turn it. Thank you. Okay, so Pat Leahy also, he said independent investigators should determine whether Bush administrations ought to face charges over the torture. Other liberal Democratic lawmakers appeared yesterday, joined Carl Levin in pressuring the Obama administration to pursue investigations into the interrogation policies. Conservative Republican senators characterized the Democratic actor as counterproductive and politically motivated and damaging to national security.
Damaging to Republican re-election prospects is what they mean.
Levin said he has recommended the Justice Department to select up to three people outside the department, such as retired federal judges, to recommend any charges or other actions against lawyers and others who develop the policies. That decision should not be made by politicians, bipartisans, by Democrats or Republicans. It's traditionally made by Department of Justice, who's supposed to make these decisions independently. I agree. 57 minutes after the hour, stand-up news and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Breaking news. Swine flu outbreak.
Just moments ago, Mexico City's mayor discussed the possibility of shutting the entire city down.
Wow.
It's the largest city in the Western Hemisphere, and they're going to shut the city down.
Done de los yikes.
That's what Obie was talking about.
Oh, David Obie, the Wisconsin Democrat who tried to get funding for pandemic outbreak here in the United States, but Republicans...
Computer says no.
That's crazy. Why would we need money for that?
That's like volcano monitoring.
Like that's going to happen.
Crazy.
Okay, frankly, I want some answers on the swine flu, and we are going to get them from CNN's top medical correspondent next hour. Don't miss that.
Yes, Elizabeth Cohen.
You want answers?
Yes.
I think I'm entitled.
That's
you
right.
want answers. I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
I'm going to scream at her like that for some answers.
We'll find out exactly what swine flu is, why it's so deadly, and how you can prevent yourself from getting it.
Yes, or as Jim says, particularly if you have what do you call children?
Oh, germ wagons.
Germ wagons. If you have some germ wagons, you're probably particularly concerned.
Yes.
So we will
talk to her about whether you should keep your kids out of school or
mm-hmm.
not.
Exactly. All right. By the way, at StephanieMiller.com, we have, first of all, I forgot to mention last week, my puff died last week, my 13-year-old Great Pyrenees. And I put my favorite Photoshop fun up ever from Puff when Puff stole Mama's credit card and mm-hmm. bought all the factor gear.
Yes.
That's up in Photoshop fun. And I want to thank everybody that came out the ASPCA wagon walk. Max and I, my other puppy, Max, we led the walk on Saturday. Max!
Did you do that? Did you say?
Yes, I did. Okay. I am the Norma Desmond of Dog Rescue. We led the walk. Thank you, everybody that came out and donated to ASPCA in Puff's memory or to Gentle Giants Rescue, where I got Max. Thank you very much for all of that and your kind wishes. Okay. Oh, also, Shano has put up a video to try to get me the 10 p.m. slot at MSNBC.
Yes.
Where's that?
You just scroll down on the homepage, and the video is right there front and center.
Huh. Fabulous.
Yes, Shano did a great job. You know what? He did spend like a month and a half
did
putting
he?
This
Did he? Well, he better get me that damn job. You know how much I spend in kibble every month?
So that would be 7 o'clock our time, right?
Yes. I think so.
Oh, could you do that?
That would be like the old days.
Can I do that? Are you kidding me?
It's TV.
For box wine and kibble money?
Yeah, you stick a camera in front of Stephanie and she's there.
All right, Jim, I have a guest quote for you this morning. Mm-hmm. There is a theme to today's guest quote. Who said, if conservatives don't want to be seen as bitter people who cling to their guns and religion and anti-immigrant sentiments, they should stop being bitter and clinging to their guns, religion, and anti-immigrant sentiments. Who said that?
Rad Blagojevich.
Bill Maher in a fabulous opinion piece in the LA Times this weekend, which I enjoyed greatly. So then this might be an easier guess to quote than normal. Who said, it's been a week now and I still don't know what those teabag protests were about. I saw signs protesting abortion, illegal immigrants, the bank bailout, and that gay guy who's going to win on American Idol. But it wasn't tax day that made them crazy. It was election day, because that's when Republicans became what they fear most, a minority.
Mm-hmm.
Who said that?
Rod Steiger.
He's muerto.
No.
Yes.
Bill Maher. However, there's a 1 degree of Stephanie Miller separation in that story.
Yeah,
and
there
what is.
And
what is it, Chris?
Rod, when you were on the set of Politically Incorrect with Rod Steiger asked you out.
That's right. And I thought he was dating Liz Taylor. I was confused. But he called me and asked me out. Okay.
Did you go out with him?
No.
Oh, come on.
I was sort of startled. I said, aren't you dating Liz Taylor? Okay.
He thought you were a hot piece.
I guess so.
Kid, when you weigh 168 pounds,
Emery yelled
beautiful.
At me. He actually, I was sort of trying to make nice conversation. He's like, do you want to go out with me or not? And I was like,
oh, my God.
He was kind of a yeller.
Yeah, he was.
And that's back when you were in your 30s.
Shut up. Okay. Well, I was several hundred years younger than Liz Taylor.
Well, that's true.
That was in the 30s, wasn't it?
All right. Jim, who said, here are the big issues for normal people. The war, the economy, the environment, mending fences with our enemies and allies, and the rule of law. And here's a list of Republican obsessions since President Obama took office. That his birth certificate is supposedly fake. He uses a teleprompter too much. He bowed to a Saudi guy. Europeans like him. He gives inappropriate gifts. His wife shamelessly flaunts her upper arms. And he shook hands with Hugo Chavez and slipped him the nuclear launch codes. Do these sound like the concerns of a healthy, vibrant political party? Who said that?
Rod Serling.
No. Bill Maher in a fabulous opinion piece in the L.A. Times called the GOP. The GOP divorced from reality. Jim, here's a little tip. We'll be doing more quotes from that next hour.
Oh, okay.
And guess the quote.
I guess Rod Stewart, then.
Okay. Let's check some news we don't want to lose, shall we, kids? Here we go.
Yippee, yippee. It's time for stand-up news. And now, here's anchor person, Stephanie Miller.
Sorry. Guest cub reporter, Chris Lavoie.
Just to bring up the swine flu thing one more time, I find it a little disturbing that wasn't President Obama just in Mexico City?
No.
Like last week?
Oh,
geez. Yeah.
Sans face mask.
Yeah, he didn't have a face mask on. And so I'm a little concerned about his health.
Well, that will be an addition of What the Fox tonight, is that it's President Obama that has brought swine flu to America. What the Fox?
Yeah.
Okay. In an unannounced visit to Iraq on Saturday, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton downplayed concerns that the country's hard-won security gains may be deteriorating and said a recent spike in deadly attacks here won't derail U.S. plans for withdrawal. The one-day visit, Clinton's first to Secretary of State, came amid renewed fears that widespread violence is returning to Iraq. A string of suicide bombings killed at least 150 people in Baghdad on Thursday and Friday. These are tragic, terrible events, she said, but they do not reflect any diversion from the security progress that has been made. Reaction from the Iraqi people and from Iraqi leaders has been firm and united in rejecting violence, which I believe it's time for another episode of...
Jug Ears and Pantsuit.
Yes.
The makers of Dick's Waterboards, the furniture of choice for the interrogator in a hurry, and Gitmo, the resort where the vacation never ends, are proud to present the latest installment of the adventures of Jug Ears and Pantsuit. Today's episode, is it in the bag, Dad?
Oh!
I get it.
Yeah.
Baghdad.
I get it.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, move on.
Madam Secretary, could you step into the Oval Office, please? We need to talk.
Yes, Mr. President. What can I do for you?
What is all this about you going to Baghdad on the sly? You know I was there a couple weeks ago. Are you trying to beat my time with the troops?
Now, Mr. President, don't get your ears flapping too hard. You move the furniture. You see, when you go to a war zone, it isn't all about looking pretty so the soldiers can take your picture. There's some actual work to be done. You should be glad I was there to take care of it. Isn't that what you hired me for?
I'm surprised you got anything done dodging all the sniper fire, Madam Secretary. And besides, you're pretty enough.
Are we back to that again? Next thing you'll be throwing the word cankles around. Yeah, I wear pantsuits, and I wear pants as a woman in Muslim countries, pal. What have you got?
As I recall, there's going to be some empty space soon in Gitmo. Maybe you'd like your desk sent there. Should be okay. Your job is already a high-stress position.
Oh, Barack, don't let's fight. I think you're just out of sorts because Dick Cheney won't shut his reptilian little mouth. Now maybe you have some insight in what I've been going through for 16 years.
You're right, Hill. It's like I'm sitting on 1,000 hemorrhoids. What can I do?
I know. We'll produce a training film about what not to do in interrogating with lots of real graphic examples. And we'll use Republicans. Can you imagine Boner hanging from his thumbs for 6 months? Not only will he be crying, but his bronzer will wear off and we'll see what a pasty-faced chump he really is.
I knew there was a reason I hired you. We'll do it. BFFs, Hill?
Oh, totes.
Will Barack and Hillary really reconcile? Will they put the hurt on the Republican leadership? Will John Boehner cry like a little girl? Okay, we know that'll happen. Tune in again for the next thrilling installment of Jug Ears and Pantsuits.
Finally. And Tuesday, a federal judge warned Rod Blagojevich that he didn't fully understand the seriousness and the breadth of the case before him. On Friday, the Illinois ex-governor was filmed suspended in midair flying before a giant green screen.
Why?
Was in L.A. on Friday promoting...
That's what you do when you're in L.A.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I did that yesterday.
I did it this morning.
Uh-huh. He was promoting I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, the NBC reality show the judge said he couldn't join. But on Friday, Blagojevich's PR agent released a statement saying that actor Stephen Baldwin was willing to fly to Chicago and ask a judge to Lego my Blago. Oh, my.
Wow,
what would make
weird.
Him think he doesn't understand the seriousness of the charges? I would love for Blagojevich to be on the show, Baldwin said. He would add intensity and spice. Those are code words for...
Stephen Baldwin should know.
Yes, the statement said Baldwin will start wearing a handmade button on his lapel during interviews demanding Lego my Blago.
Oh, that's dumb.
Blagojevich said what's really appealing about this opportunity is it's a chance to do something that's really fun and entertaining compared to some of the other things I got to deal with, which frankly suck.
Well, yeah. Then he shouldn't
go
have...
to prison.
Yeah.
TMZ caught up with him at LAX and asked him what the deal is with his hair.
Yeah.
Here is the fun facts about his hair. He said, let me say this, I came of age in the disco era when the brush was like an extension of your arm. He adds that he uses just shampoo, not conditioner. He said, you know, I comb my hair a lot, towel dry, just comb it and I'm on my way.
The disco era was 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. People change hair. People can change hairstyles, you know.
What? That's allowed?
No, don't be ridiculous. We have, who do we have?
Lago.
Lago. Mm-hmm.
Hey, what the... What's wrong with the world? You know, I kissed a lot of ass and bent over and grabbed my ankles for years to make it to the top in Illinois politics. And what good has it done me? Where's my graft? Where's my house in Barrington Estates? And most important, where's my bat and paid for judges? I swear, being governor of Illinois ain't what I used to be. Used to be you can count on a happy retirement someplace warm, like freaking Costa Rica. There it could be cavorting with dames and bimbos drinking rum with umbrellas in it. And this jag-off judge tells me I gotta stay home. I didn't bust my hump slogging through the dog poop stained snow on the west side for 20 years, dragging grannies and winos into the voting booth and pulling the lever for them to be stuck in Springfield in the freaking wintertime. Oh, old man Daly's probably shooting looters in his grave to see how bad off the machine has become. Well, I blame Rostenkowski. If he hadn't caved and pled guilty, we'll all be swimming in postage stamps and hookers. Ah, well, maybe if I'm lucky, I'll get his cell. I'm sure he had a private stash of pierogies somewhere in there. Unless Hastert gets in there first. Pierogies.
You know, I lived in Chicago for a year, and I never had a pierogi.
Oh.
I'm not sure I did either. I was there for 3 years.
Yeah.
No wonder they kicked you out. That's all for stand-up news. I'm here all week. Tell your friends if you'd like more Jim Ward, Paul Durall.
Jim Ward's apocryphal but true. How do you spell that? Who cares? Because there's a tile ad right there in the Stephanie Miller website, stephaniemiller.com. Lots of new content. Buy the album. And if you do that, you get the EP extended dance mix version of It's a Blunderful Life.
Yay!
Fabulous.
How about that?
All right. We have a little more breaking news on the swine flu outbreak.
Oh, no.
The State Department is ready to issue a travel advisory to avoid all non-essential travel to Mexico due to swine flu. So don't be going to Mexico, people.
My mom's flying to Italy in a few weeks.
Well, that's not Mexico, is it?
I know, but anybody flying anywhere is going to have to worry.
Well, yeah.
You're a full body hazmat suit.
In a completely unrelated story, Jim Ward's mom's going to Italy. What? All right.
My sister's in Italy right now.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. All right. Anyway, we mentioned that some right-wing tool said that Obama has demoralized the CIA.
Yes.
Which you could tell by his rock star welcome there last week. But I'm going to preemptively name Luis in Austin the smartest boy in school today. Luis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi.
Yes, go ahead.
Well, yeah, you know, just thinking about the statement there I mean, have they even considered the fact that they outed an agent?
Yeah, that's demoralizing. Thank you. Outing
CIA
a CIA agent in wartime, that would be demoralizing to the CIA. Thank you. Sure. Courtesy of the Bush administration. Thank you. Pointing out Republican hypocrisy, it's like shooting fish in a barrel. 20 minutes after the hour, back with the latest on the torture controversy and breaking news on swine flu as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
What the hell was that?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Brenda in Los Angeles on the swine flu outbreak. Hi, Brenda.
Yes, Stephanie. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm usually agreeing 99% of what you say, but this time when you say don't travel to Mexico because you're going to get hurt, you really touch my sensible point. The government never said don't travel to Mexico. They said if you're sick, do not go to Mexico.
No,
but
the
they
state
never said don't travel.
Brenda, the breaking news is that the State Department is going to be issuing a travel advisory to avoid all non-essential travel to Mexico. That's from the State Department.
Yeah,
that's not us.
That wasn't an opinion I expressed, Brenda. I didn't say don't go and you'll get hurt. We were reporting that the United States government is saying that you should not for non-essential travel.
I know. the way Chris said it, he's like, don't go to Mexico because then you're going to die. Don't go to Spain. Spain has also already 5 cases of swine flu. So
I was not expressing a racial statement, but it was a medical statement that the U.S. government has released this morning.
And Mexico City has been essentially shut down.
Yeah, the mayor of Mexico City is talking about the possibility of shutting the entire city down.
No, that I know.
Right.
And I know because I have my grandma lives in Mexico City, and I know exactly what's going on.
Right.
But
our thoughts
like
are with her.
Well, do you?
98% of the time, I agree with what just the way you said it was.
Right.
Like, oh,
well, we didn't
God.
Mean to offend you. We're just. I just wouldn't advise traveling to Mexico right this second until we know the scope of this is.
I wouldn't go either.
Okay. All right, honey. Well, we wish your grandma well.
How,
all right.
How did
I don't know.
Race enter?
It's the way you said it, Chris.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway.
Okay. You know how you are with your hysteria. Yes, Jim.
The one thing we should point out, which had occurred to me earlier, that Don Rumsfeld owns stock in the company that makes Tamiflu.
Tamiflu.
Just something
interesting. Oh, a little conspiracy snossage there, just FYI.
Same.
All right.
The money.
The other big story, of course, the torture controversy over the weekend. Charles Krauthammer on the Brit Baer show.
He really went over the line with the release of the documents.
Oh, yeah.
This is really different. It's one thing if you want to govern with a solid majority in the House and the Senate and pass your agenda. That's fine. But this is the criminalization of policy.
Oh.
The difference is this is
banana
republic politics in which it isn't enough to seize the presidential palace. You've got to put your opponents in jail, as is happening in Hugo Chavez's land, Obama's new palace.
See, that's exactly
and
the same.
It is really the beginning of a bloodletting in American politics.
The policy itself was criminal, you jerk.
Yeah, that's what
it's not the criminalization of
policy. Yeah, he's going to try to put his opponents in jail for no reason. Like in a banana republic.
That's the Karl Rove talking point. Yes. And they're all repeating it.
You know, Jim, I wish Charles Krauthammer were here to play Guess the Quote with me this morning, but he's not, so you'll have to do. Who said the United States participated actively and effectively in the negotiation of the convention? The Convention on Torture. We're referring to the UN Convention on Torture from 1984. It marks a significant step in the development during this century of international measures against torture and other inhumane treatment or punishment. Who said that?
Chuck Cabbage Hitter.
No.
Chuck what?
Ronald Reagan.
Oh, okay.
Ronald
Whoa.
Reagan from his signing statement on the UN Convention on Torture from 1984. Huh. Who said ratification of the convention by the United States will clearly express United States opposition to torture, an abhorrent practice, unfortunately, still prevalent in the world today? Who said that?
Judith Regan.
No, Ronald Reagan. Who said the core provisions of the convention establish a regime for international cooperation in the criminal prosecution of torturers relying on so-called universal jurisdiction? Each state party is required either to prosecute torturers who are found in its territory or to extradite them to other countries for prosecution. Who said that?
The Gipper.
Yes, actually. That's the first time you've ever been right.
He wasn't. He didn't play the Gipper in that movie.
No, he
didn't.
That
was Ronald Reagan, who was adamant about prosecuting torture, prosecuting inhumane treatment that some might claim was not full-on torture.
Wow.
He was even adamant about that.
That's weird.
That would be Ronald Reagan, who I'm sure would be quoted liberally on Fox News today.
Liberally.
28 minutes after the hour. Back with more on the breaking news on the torture prosecutions as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
With light basking in the warm glow of a higher intelligence as it envelops you and allows you to become part of its everlasting glory.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Charles in St. Paul on the swine flu outbreak. Hi, Charles.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
Hey, I was thinking it'd be neat if there was some way we could figure out to do some kind of a Stephanie Miller Show pool, so somebody could win when somebody from the right wing first called this the Obama flu. Does that sound like a good idea?
We already predicted that on the Fox tonight, is that because the president, of course, was in Mexico City without a mask, so clearly. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's all part of his Muslim plot. All right. Jim, with some other breaking news.
Yes.
Not only did Republicans kill the funding for pandemic outbreak, because that's craziness. David Obie was trying to get some funding for some sort of emergency funding.
Well, our buddy Tommy from Columbus sent me this interesting article. GOP is filibustering the confirmation of the Secretary of Health and Human Services in the midst of swine flu preparations.
Oh.
Mitch McConnell started a filibuster to prevent confirmation of Obama's choice to head HHS, Kathleen Sebelius. The right-wing anti-choice zealots have been apoplectic about Sebelius. And By the way, FYI,
she's pro-life.
Yes. Well, she is. Oh,
just,
great.
Yes,
wow.
I thought I would mention that.
I did not know that.
Yes.
But, wow.
Personally, but she obviously.
The reason we don't have a head of the CDC is because the Secretary of HHS appoints that person. For the time being, Health and Human Services is being led by Acting Secretary Charles Johnson, a Bush appointee from Utah.
Oh, that's the last thing we need.
Most of his career working as an accountant. Yeah. So, yeah. Now, Mitch McConnell is filibustering.
At a time where we need a Health and Human Services Secretary the most.
Mm. Did they want people to die? I mean, is that what they want? The Republicans want to...
Republicans want you to die.
That's what I've always thought.
You know, that's probably... well, that's true. But anyway, it could be over the top, but still.
Anyway, Don Rumsfeld to make a killing on Tamiflu.
Kathleen Sebelius, as governor of Kansas, has voted for things that they consider too pro-choice, but it's because of things she doesn't think will stand up legally.
Right.
That they're trying to do. Anyway.
And also, Fox News screams about this every night. Kathleen Sebelius took money from that Dr. Tiller guy.
Yes.
Who performs abortions in Kansas.
Yes.
Yes. They call him Tiller the Baby Killer.
Oh, that's clever.
Yeah.
Okay, Mary in San Francisco on the torture memos. Hello, Mary.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, I just can't believe I was here when Jim won one for the Gipper. I can't believe it.
Yes.
I've been listening forever. Anyway, I'm just calling because I broke the cardinal bookseller rule, which is that you must never engage the customers in political discourse. But I couldn't resist because there were some Republicans in the bookstore. You could always tell because they never know how books are arranged alphabetically by author.
Yes.
It confuses them, so we have to help them. But anyway, so one guy was, they were muttering about how we don't have all of Mark Levine's books, Ann Coulter's books, et cetera, et cetera. And I asked one of the guys, finally, I said, do you find it more troubling that we tortured or that we told people that we tortured? And they immediately said that we told people. Okay.
Oh. Wow.
So I said,
wow.
We kind of talked back and forth. My dad's been in the military, Navy, and we talked a little bit. He was a Marine, so forth. And finally, he said, in order to prove his point, he said, well, the Japanese did absolutely horrible things to us, to our guys, our airmen, and it was written about in a book called Flyboys, which I'm sure Jim has read.
Uh-huh.
And so essentially their argument was that because the Japanese tortured our guys, then we must torture the Iraqis.
Right. Yes, except that we hung the Japanese that tortured our guys.
I asked him about that,
yes.
Punishing, and he just didn't seem to understand. He did not see any inherent conflict in his argument at all.
Interesting.
And I just finally, and we parted fairly amicably, and he said, you know, I'll talk to you about this later or whatever, but, and then he left, and his other friend had left already. But I'm just thinking, he did not see any conflict in entertaining the idea that when they torture us, it's terrible, but when we torture, it's okay.
Yeah.
Because
we're Americans. Okay,
kicker,
all right.
The kicker was that I told him, what about that Iraqi American who was born in North Dakota who's over in Iran right now?
Iranian
American. Yeah. And who's over in Iran right now. Should she be tortured? And they wouldn't answer me either way.
Yeah, because that would just expose hypocrisy, and they don't like that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That is amazing. Republicans against pandemic disease funding and for torture. All right, Bill O'Reilly.
Every single mistake, every single one, the Bush administration made in the war on terror is fodder for the ACLU, Move On, the New York Times, and other haters who couldn't care less about America. They just want revenge.
Wow.
Now, I'm fed up, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm calling out these people.
God, you're
we're living in a very dangerous time.
Yeah,
people
want to
kill us. The economy is brutal, and nuclear-armed Pakistan is chaotic. Enough is enough with the anti-American garbage
in
this country.
Whoa,
Is it anti-American of me to mention that torture also doesn't work? Is that a...
I think
in 2002, a military agency warned against torture. The military agency that provided advice on harsh interrogation techniques for use against terrorists and suspects referred to the application of extreme duress as torture in a July 2002 document sent to the Pentagon's chief lawyer and warned that it would produce, quote, unreliable information. Huh. The unintended consequence of a U.S. policy that provides for the torture of prisoners is that it could be used by our adversaries as justification for the torture of captured U.S. personnel, says the document. The document offers the clearest evidence that has come to light so far that technical advisors on the harsh interrogation methods voiced early concerns about the effectiveness of applying severe physical or psychological pressure. Thank you.
I find it un-American that Republicans want you to die.
Yeah, it's, these people are just robots. It's just, it's amazing. This is like,
yep.
All right. I'll usually hyperbole to say it's like Nazi Germany, but in a way it is.
See, this is why we need to look into this. If you heard this over the weekend, U.S. Court of Appeals Judge Jay Bybee has expressed regret for signing off on the key Bush administration torture memo, according to his colleagues. I've heard him express regret at the contents of the memo. I've heard him express regret that the memo was misused. Well, who ordered him to write that kind of memo? Who did someone order him to find a legal justification for torture?
Misused in that they followed it to the letter.
Yeah, in that he wrote apparently what they wanted him to write, and they followed it. All right, Hannity on the torture.
So sleep deprivation, putting bugs in a confined area, caterpillars, none of the only thing I can think of that would really be torture.
That's enhanced interrogation, and that's even using a strong term for it. I mean, give me a break.
Sure. The only thing I can think of would be torture is maybe to put on MSNBC all night long.
No, you did not, Sean. Oh, Sean. Oh.
Idiot. That was Gavin Newsom's ex-wife who said that.
Oh, my.
Wow.
Yeah. Sean, you're a panic. You're a hoot.
God.
Yeah.
Okay. Hannity again.
Well, let's look at the big picture. You know, the apologizing for America tour, calling America arrogant to our enemies, bowing before the Saudi king, embracing the Castro brothers, Hugo Chavez, Daniel Ortega, cutting missile defense at a time North Korea is firing missiles, meeting with Ahmadinejad, who denied again this week the Holocaust. What does this say about Barack Obama and his mindset and the principles that guide his decision-making?
It says that he'll talk to people that don't necessarily agree with us, which is what you do when you're the leader of the free world.
Oh, boy. Sean has another little list together, doesn't he, that he'll repeat endlessly, night after night after night. Yeah. Okay.
I don't think he likes our economic system because he's moving to socialism. Mm-hmm. I don't think he likes America as a superpower. I don't think he likes America's history. Frankly, I think he probably agrees with his wife who last year called America a downright mean country.
I don't think Sean Hannity is smart enough to understand what real socialism is.
No. People like Tim Geithner and Larry Summers in your administration, you're not a socialist.
No.
Yeah, right away. That's your first tip off. All right. Jeff in Atlanta on the swine flu outbreak. Hi, Jeff. Welcome.
Yeah, I guess I would call this yet another episode of conservatives, Republicans, once again being wrong, as well as sort of the the budget hawks for going along. But not only was it, as Jim pointed out earlier, you know, the main senator Republican Susan Collins make sure to take it out of the bill. Do people remember that they sent, and you see this in a recent Nation blog post about this, they sent out Karl Rove to do all the talking points around the stimulus, and all the pinheads like Hannity and whatnot, they all got on there, and you're going to put in $1 billion for pandemic flu. It was one of these talking points that were mocking. Oh, how silly.
Yeah. We just talked about this earlier, Jeff. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. They were mocked by Republicans who said, oh, this is crazy. Oh, look at this pork. Oh, like we need that for flu.
Here's the connector point. They said that it wasn't stimulus, but as Obi and others were pointing out, what are you going to do if a pandemic hits during an economic downturn, thus leading back to Republicans always being wrong?
Absolutely.
You're shutting down entire cities like they're doing in Mexico right now.
Yep. Boy, oh boy. 43. You know what? I think, Chris, and not only do Republicans want to kill you, God does not like Republicans. Let's go on record as saying that.
Okay, God.
He made a volcano explode right after Bobby Jindal mocked volcano monitoring, and he sent swine flu right after Republicans vetoed the funding for swine flu.
Maybe God will smite Republicans.
40.
We haven't had a good smiting in a long time.
We here at the Stephanie Miller Show do not encourage the smiting of Republicans.
Yes, we do.
We're just saying.
Yes, we do.
Well, think it over. It's on my list.
43 minutes after the hour.
My list.
How bad will the swine flu epidemic get in the U.S.? We'll tell you what we know next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Well, I guess that makes our naughty parts tingle.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 48 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Buddy in Columbus on the swine flu outbreak. Buddy, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, a couple thing, love bumps. Number one. Is
please call me Jiggles, won't you?
Well, love bumps is a little crappier.
Okay. Fine.
Hey, a couple things. On this, on Sebelius and blocking Sebelius,
mm-hmm.
it's being done by anti-abortion people. And what these knuckle-dragging pinheads don't get is if people get really sick with swine flu,
yes,
then they'll have spontaneous abortions or they'll go and get an abortion because they're worried about birth defects.
Yeah.
And the second thing on something totally different, Frank Rich, in his best column he's ever written.
Oh, well, that's okay. I say that every week, but go ahead.
You've got to hear this. The report found that Major Paul Byrd, a United States Army psychiatrist, assigned to interrogation in Guantanamo Bay in the summer of 2002, told Army investigators the White House imperative, a large part of the time we were focused on trying to establish a link between Al-Qaeda and Iraq and were not successful. As higher-ups got more frustrated at the inability to prove this connection, the Major said there was more and more pressure put on to establish the link.
Yep.
So in other words, this wasn't Zuccari and this wasn't the other guy. These were just random Joes that they were beating to try to get us into this stupid
yep.
ass
yes.
war.
Illegal techniques to get us into the illegal war. Noted. Noted. All right. By the way, so do we mention not only did Republicans vote down funding for, pandemic, epidemic, whatever.
Pandemic
stuff that
funding.
Would never happen. They are also blocking the, Director of Health and Human Services nominee,
yep.
Kathleen Sebelius,
right.
the governor of Kansas. Apparently, she made an inadvertent error about how much money she had gotten from a doctor who performs abortions or
whatever.
That would be Dr. Tiller.
Yes.
The Fox News calls him Tiller the Baby Killer.
By the way, here is a little fun fact about Kathleen Sebelius, who it seems like perhaps now would be a good time to
yeah.
have a health secretary.
Yeah.
She personally opposes abortion, and she is supported by both her home state Republican senators, including Senator Sam Brownback, who is a very strong abortion opponent. She has vetoed legislation sought by anti-abortion groups to impose more regulations on abortion clinics and rewrite the state's restrictions on late-term abortions. Sebelius vetoed a closely watched measure that would have required doctors performing late-term abortions to report additional information to the state. She questioned whether the bill could withstand a court challenge. Is the reason why, and suggested some provisions could lead to intimidation of health care providers. So that's why we don't have a health secretary yet. Okay.
Great.
As reports of a unique form of swine flu erupt around the world, the inevitable question arises, is this the big one? The short answer is it's too soon to tell. Confirmed cases around the nation rose from 8 on Saturday morning to 20 by Sunday afternoon, including 8 high school kids in New York City. The New York Post front page headline on Sunday was Pig Flu Panic. The New York Post always want to stoke hysteria if they can. But the medical answer is it's too soon to tell. We're going to talk to CNN's chief medical correspondent next hour for
right.
all the latest on this. This will be, however, Chris, on What the Fox tonight. As you know, Jim, President Obama was in Mexico City.
Last week, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah.
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 So I'm going to guess that he will be... That was part of his Muslim socialist plot, is to bring swine flu to America, apparently, so that he can socialize medicine
yes.
and health care here.
He's the typhoid Mary of swine flu.
Oh, exactly. This was a coincidence that he was talking about health care the other day.
If you're going to fix it, why not do a universal health care system like the European countries?
You see what I'm saying? But this is a little bit scary. This could lead to a full-fledged conspiracy corner from Jim Ward
yeah,
at some point. Obama was received at Mexico's Anthropology Museum in Mexico City by Felipe Solis,
mm-hmm.
a distinguished archaeologist who died the following day from symptoms similar to the flu.
Oh, my God.
Oh, dear.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God.
yeah, I just... it's too early to speculate. I can't see any way that Don Rumsfeld had anything to do with sending him to Mexico. He owns,
Tamiflu. Yes, Vince in Santa Rosa on the swine flu. Hello, Vince.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, go ahead.
In the late 70s, 75, 76, I was in the military. There was a swine flu outbreak then, and we were required to take a swine flu vaccination, a shot. A whole bunch of people were sickened by the vaccination.
The vaccination, yeah.
And I refused to take it, and I ended up, I had 30 days extra duty. My pay was reduced by half. But five other people in my company got the swine flu from the vaccination. And I just, when I heard this starting Friday, I was like, oh, my God, I hadn't heard of swine flu since 75.
Mm-hmm.
Just
I
like
know.
Deja vu all over again.
Yep, I know. Exactly.
The one time I got a flu shot, I got the flu. Oh, great.
Tim in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Tim.
Good morning. I was going to talk about how the Republicans are so the hypocrisy about the Republicans, but the swine flu, I'm waiting for John Boehner to be crying on the floor of the Senate saying, I voted for the pandemic virus thing, so that way, you know, this wouldn't happen. And look, it's happening. It's a liberal conspiracy.
Yeah,
I'm just
yeah.
waiting for him to do.
As it turns out, that should have been at the top of our list, voting
yeah.
for
if he and his friends hadn't voted down the funding for a pandemic outbreak.
Exactly. Maybe he'll have a drunken, rage rant on the floor again. It'd be great.
Yes, and throw down the stimulus bill that included the rejected funding for the pandemic outbreaks.
God, these people are... I keep repeating this, and you think it's hyperbole, but Republicans want you to die.
It sure seems that way.
Stuart in Orange County, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. I can't believe I allow that sort of hyperbole on my show. Stuart, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, thanks. Missed you at the festival yesterday. But the problem with Republicans is that they're playing the opposite game, just like when we were kids. Anything that happens, they want the opposite. Just like when Rush complained about the pirates and that Obama wasn't doing anything. When he did something, he complained.
Yep.
So no matter what is good for us, right. they will always want the opposite. They're playing the opposite game.
Yes.
He's not doing enough, or he's doing too much, or maybe both.
And while it is hyperbole to say that Republicans want you to die, I think it is very clear that God hates Republicans because he causes something to happen that they voted against almost immediately. Okay, and this exposing them as be the giant boobs that they are. Let's go to Kathy in Santa
Where's
Fe.
Where's your God now?
Kathy in Santa Fe.
Hi, I just wanted to make a comment about the woman who called in and said her father was saying because the Japs had tortured us, then it was okay to torture Iraqis. And to me, that's the crux of why torture is so bad, because when you start it then it creates a cycle
of vengeance.
Vengeful yeah. torture, mm-hmm. and it just destroys the entire fabric of civilization, mm-hmm. and our country has got to recognize that and stop it. And I do think we
that was
go
a very good
people.
Kathy, that was a very good progressive point. However, did you start your sentence by using the word Japs? I believe that you
well,
did.
She was quoting.
Oh, you were quoting him?
Yeah.
I was quoting him.
All right. That's
okay.
fine then. Okay. See, that's what we always have to say. Can Jim say something racist when ridiculing racist Republicans? No.
Computer says no.
Generally, we say no.
I mean, that was common parlance in the 40s.
Yes, it
yes,
was.
I know it was. I know. All right. Laura in Massachusetts, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Mama and Mook.
Hello.
Love your show.
Thank you.
So they seem to be on the wrong side of everything. You know, when
yes.
they had their convention, this big hurricane blows in. Oops, can't have George there. Can't have George there because it'll bring back Katrina memories. Then you get the whole Bobby Jindal volcano monitoring is a waste of time. And oops, readout.
Yep. Yep.
But this Health and Human Services Secretary nomination, this confirmation, this is very, very bad. They do not want to be on the bad side of this thing, because if this thing does blow up, all of her, she doesn't have staff. There's nobody there. It's not just her position. It's all of the key positions under her. So if they're holding this up as an obstructionist, oh, we believe in life. Well, guess what? This is going to be a very bad thing for them.
Yeah, we believe in life, except all the people that are going to die from the swine flu because we have no health secretary. Okay, 57 minutes after the hour. Stay tuned. We are going to have the CNN's chief medical correspondent with all the latest on the swine flu epidemic as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey! It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere to join the party. StephanieMiller.com.
Oh, boy.
The website.
I knew it was a mistake to look at Alex Jones' Prison Planet.
Oh no. Okay.
Retired Army General Russell Honoré on CNN. Did swine flu come out of a lab? Oh boy.
No. All right. StephanieMiller.com. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice Deedee, conspiracy theorist Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. The breaking news, of course, this morning. The swine flu epidemic, the outbreak. What are all the breaking stories, Christopher?
Oh, the State Department is getting ready to issue a travel advisory for you to avoid any non-essential travel to Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
The mayor of Mexico City has talked about shutting the entire city down, and that's the biggest city in the Western Hemisphere. That'll take some doing.
All right. And on the Celebrity Hotline, coming up, Elizabeth Cohen, who is the senior medical correspondent for CNN's Health and Medical Unit. How about that? Huh? She'll know a little something about a little something.
I wonder what she thinks of Wayne Madsen's idea.
Oh. Jim.
I'll talk about it later.
What's Wayne Madsen saying?
He claims that the outbreak of a new strain of swine flu in Mexico and parts of the United States is a result of the introduction of a human-engineered pathogen that could result in a widespread global pandemic with potentially catastrophic consequences for domestic and international... However, it's important to stress it's far too early to make this assumption.
Thank you.
All right, let's get some swine flu fun facts.
I knew it was a mistake. I shouldn't have gone on there.
We will get more from CNN's chief medical correspondent. Pigs are considered particularly susceptible to both bird and human viruses, and a likely place where that kind of genetic reassortment can take place that might lead to a new form of the deadly, easily spread flu, scientists believe. Such concern triggered public health alarm in 1976. We just had a soldier from 1976 when soldiers at Fort Dix, New Jersey, became sick with an unusual form of swine flu. Federal officials vaccinated 40 million Americans. The pandemic never materialized, but thousands who got the shots filed injury claims, saying they suffered a paralyzing condition and other side effects from the vaccinations. To this day, health officials don't know why the 1976 virus petered out. But we had our soldier guy said no to the shot, which I guess turned out to be wise in that case. Hmm. We will ask our CNN's medical correspondent about the shots.
Chief medical correspondent.
We will ask about getting shots and keeping your kids out of school and all the things that people are concerned about this morning.
Also, Celebrity Hotline later this week is going to explode.
Tomorrow morning at the very top of the show, hour number one, Mary Tyler Moore.
That's right.
Oh, isn't that great?
And then on...
You should do that while she's on.
Yeah, she'll love that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In studio in hour three on Wednesday, Hal Sparks.
Oh, we love us.
We do.
Okay. More importantly, what we would love is to see Sean Hannity waterboarded.
Yes.
Since he offered, he brought it up.
Have you ever been waterboarded?
No, but Ali North has, and I talked to him about it.
Did you see Sean Hannity offered to be waterboarded? Which I say, you're here.
And would you consent to be waterboarded so we could get the truth out of you?
Yeah, sure.
We can waterboard you?
Sure.
Are you busy on Sunday?
Hannity volunteers to be waterboarded and says he'll do it for the families of the troops.
I'll do it for charity. I'll do it for the troops' families.
I wouldn't do it.
I would pay lots of cash money. I swear to God.
Will you give the Keith Olbermann $1,000 every second?
I don't know if I can afford that kind of TV scratch.
For every second you last, $1,000. $1,000 a second, Sean.
I'll let you do it.
Thank you, listener Ken in Cleveland, for that delightful. All right, Jim, it's time for the final round of Guess the Quote this morning. Are you ready? Who said, Republican Representative Michelle Bachmann of Minnesota recently said she fears that Obama will build re-education camps to indoctrinate young people. Mm. But Obama hasn't made any moves toward taking anyone's guns, and with money as tight as it is, the last thing the president wants to do is run a camp where he has to shelter and feed a bunch of fat, angry white people. Who said that?
James Dobson.
No. Bill Maher in a hilarious opinion piece in the LA Times this weekend. Well, and then you'd think you would know who. Time to play Guess the Quote again. Who said, look, I get it, real America. After an 8-year run of controlling the White House, Congress, and Supreme Court, this latest election has you feeling like a rejected husband. You've come home to find your things out on the front lawn, or at least more things than you usually keep out on the front lawn. You're not ready to let go, but the country you love is moving on, and now you want to call it a whore and key its car. Who said that?
Mariah Carey.
I get it, but no. Bill Maher in the same L.A. Times piece, the GOP is divorced from reality. Hilarious. Who said in the final guest quote today, who said in that's why you are the bitter divorce guy whose country has left him, obsessing over it, haranguing it, blubbering 1 minute about how much you love it and vowing the next that if you cannot have it, nobody will. But it's been almost 100 days and your country is not coming back to you. She's found somebody new and it's a black guy. Who said that?
Martin Short.
Mari Tyler Moore.
No.
Oh.
Bill Maher in a hilarious.
Hey, guess what the Houston Federal Executive Board was doing about 10-12 days ago, April 14th and 15th.
What?
An interagency continuity influenza pandemic tabletop exercise, an opportunity for federal, state, and local emergency coordinators to discuss how their agencies would manage during a pandemic event.
Well, it's good they did that.
Yeah, it is very good.
Hmm. Maybe because the Obama administration plans ahead.
Yeah.
Maybe not some conspiracy thing.
Okay. I might have been, you know, just coincidental.
Yeah.
At least they're trying to get out ahead of this.
Coincidences
that never happens.
At least they're trying to get out ahead of this instead of bringing up the rear like the Bush administration always did. Laura in Albuquerque on torture. Hello, Laura.
Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you? Go ahead.
Good. I used to work for Amnesty International, and we dealt with torture all the time, and what we found was that Americans are extremely reluctant to admit that their government tortures.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're more than ready to admit that other governments do it, but not ours.
Right.
And they're like that all the way down the line. We had people who were from Germany who dealt with the death penalty, and we had groups in New Mexico that refused to work on the death penalty. And that was because they felt that Americans could go ahead and dish that out through the judicial process fairly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the Germans that we had in our group couldn't understand what the debate was all about. They said, of course not. Governments should not, you know, do the death penalty or torture.
Yes, because Germans had enough of that in the 40s.
Ironically.
It didn't work out so well for them.
All right. The other adjunct to the torture story, of course, is the release of the interrogation photos. Robert Gibbs, White House press secretary.
The president is concerned about how any photos or any actions by anyone affects either people that are keeping this country safe or our image around the world and what it does to make it harder to pursue our national interest.
Yeah, well, here's what I think is we have to admit what we did and make it right and show that we don't do this anymore. That, to me, is the best way to make us safer and to make our troops safer. Sean Hannity.
And just when you thought the president was done giving away information to our enemies, he now plans to cave to the demands of the ACLU and release photos of interrogations.
Cave to the demands of the ACLU?
Mm-hmm. ACLU had nothing to do with it.
Isn't Dick Cheney ever urging him to release more information in
the
memos?
Yes, he wants it all out there. Well, at least the stuff that vindicates his...
I think Dick Cheney's caving to the demands of the ACLU.
See, that doesn't even... anyway, it doesn't even matter. That's like what's his name, the Admiral, Admiral Blair said. It's impossible to go back in time and know what produced what.
Right.
The point is, it's illegal, and we're not doing it anymore. And many experts will tell you that it's not effective.
Yes.
But how do you go back and go, this produced that? And
well, you can. I mean, you can show that they were getting good information before they started torturing, and then after that, they got BS.
Right, because they tortured two, they're like, oh, well, that must have been it, you know?
See, the FBI's been doing this for years. When you interrogate someone, you forge a relationship with them, and you get them to want to talk.
Yeah.
Then,
torturing
them tends to not make them want to be cooperative.
Mark in Seattle on torture. Hey, Mark.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, I happen to think of Americans as an extended family, and if someone endangers my family, I'm going to do whatever it takes to defend them. And if that involves being nasty to other people, so be it.
Okay, but being nasty is not the same as something that is illegal and is
ineffective and
has been shown.
Actually,
I mean,
generates more terror.
Yeah,
because if you torture innocent people who before had no interest in harming the United States, they do now.
Mark, what's the point of having international... we've signed the Geneva Convention. Ronald Reagan, I just read some quotes earlier, he was for prosecuting and extraditing anybody that engages in torture.
And I'm saying that, you know, everyone is free to disagree, but I think that if someone's going to threaten our way of life and our security, that we should take every means necessary.
So you torture people who threaten? Is that your idea? I mean, that's kind of a low bar.
Yeah.
I take personal threats very seriously. If someone tells me personally that they want
so
to kill
you think you
hurt
let's
me.
Let's just say you should so you should be allowed to torture someone. Say so, a guy makes a threat to you on the street. That should be legal for you to torture him.
I feel like if someone on the street comes up to me and tells me that they're going to kick my butt, I'm going to take the first strike.
You're going to torture them.
So you like Pulp Fiction? You should take him into your torture dungeon in your basement, and that should be legal.
Here's the thing, though. We picked up a lot of people who are completely innocent.
Yep. Cab drivers.
Absolutely nothing. People who, you know, accepted bribes to turn people in.
That were not innocent, like Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, already told us everything.
Yeah.
On television.
On Al Jazeera. It's on tape.
He said it all before we started torturing him.
But in the mindset that the Republicans had, you know, back in 2003, if it was on Al Jazeera, it must have been false. Because they lie. Mm.
Oh, well, interesting fun fact. You know what was false, Chris? In fact, one of our right-wing callers last week said you should be happy for torture because it kept you in L.A. safe. What? And you know what he referred to as the plot that they said Khalid Sheikh Mohammed revealed under torture, but that was actually...
Turned out to be complete BS.
Yes, it was actually a year before he was captured. Yeah. So that was... Boy, it works better than you think. Yes, Jim.
Well,
go ahead.
I have something here that someone sent me. Mm-hmm. I don't have time to go through it. Tell me why torture is unconstitutional.
Okay.
According to Article 6.
Give us some fine American music. For those of you Americans out there who believe in the Constitution, go ahead.
According to Article 6, Section 2 of the Constitution of the United States.
Of the United States?
The Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuance thereof, and all treaties made or which shall be made under the authority of the United States, shall be the supreme law of the land. For example, Common Article 3 of the Geneva Convention ratified by the Congress, that'd be the United States Congress, in 1949.
The United States Congress.
Non-combatants, combatants who laid down their arms, combatants who are out of the fight due to wounds, detention, or any other cause, shall in all circumstances be treated humanely, including prohibition of outrages upon personal dignity, in particular humiliating and degrading treatments. So yes. If you're violating the Geneva Convention, you're also violating...
Yes. Well, that's why I was saying earlier, Ronald Reagan, specifically in his signing statement in 1984, was for prosecuting extraditing anyone that engages in not just torture, Jim, but inhumane treatment that may not even be considered torture. Interesting. I haven't seen any Republicans quote that. Interesting.
Nope. It's what John Dean was talking about, the authoritarian personality. People who worship strong power and feel the need to be led, they tend to go for simplistic ideas like that. Well, bad guys,
black and white,
so we got to do it to everybody else who looks at us funny.
And that's why people on the far right only see things in black and white without any kind of nuance whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. Why they believe Rush Limbaugh when he says Obama's not doing enough, and then believe him the next day when he says he's doing too much.
That's right, Rush.
And we know our listeners don't believe us.
Exactly. That's why our listeners are smarter.
Yeah, that's right.
Also because we believe in the which the president talked about how we have fallen behind, which becomes inconvenient at a time of, you know, stuff like a pandemic outbreak, things like that.
Oh, that could never happen.
Yeah.
What?
So Republicans voted down funding for a pandemic outbreak such as is occurring right now with swine flu. They are also trying to filibuster the Health and Human Services nominee, which might come in handy at a time like that.
Well, she's the one who appoints the CDC director, and we don't have a CDC director right now.
Service for Disease Control.
Yes.
Which would be kind of important during a potential pandemic.
Yes.
Yes.
It doesn't even make sense politically for the Republicans, because they're appealing to like a very small segment, like maybe 30-35% of their base, and you don't win elections
Well, you know what the Republicans are doing, Jim? They were there Friday to mock Al Gore when he testified about more scientific craziness like global warming. We'll be back with that crunchy audio goodness and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Who are those freaks?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Ebony in Minneapolis. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi.
Hello. You want to chime in on the torture debate? Go ahead.
Yes, and actually the swine flu pandemic as well. Real quick on the pandemic, since it is more susceptible to be caught by pigs, is anybody watching Rush Limbaugh?
Oh, no. Come on. That is so okay.
Come down with it real quick.
My friend.
He may have started this whole thing. We don't know.
Oh, no.
Speaking of swine, I would like to comment about the last person who called in regards to torture, you know, if they come after our family kind of thing. Well, Rush Limbaugh did say that, you know, as proof that torture works, it broke John McCain when the Vietnamese were doing it to him. However, if you would have actually read McCain's book, McCain also said that I just gave them false information just to make them stop.
Yeah.
So torture really doesn't work. It just makes people start singing like a canary, not necessarily giving them true information.
Yes, he famously gave them the front line of the Green Bay Packers as the names of his fellow soldiers.
Yeah, or some other football team, depending on what city he was in when he told the story.
Exactly. All right. Jerry and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Steph and the Mooks. Hey, I just wanted to point out one thing, not to jump on the last caller too much, but, you know, he says we're free to disagree about whether or not we should be torturing people, when in fact we're not free, because if you engage in planning and discussion about torturing people, you're engaging in conspiracy to commit a felony, and that will get you thrown in jail.
Yep,
hopefully.
Absolutely. Let's go to Beth in Chicago responding to our torture caller as well. Hey, Beth, welcome.
Hi. I really think that we're overlooking something that I see underneath all the people who call and all the people who are, oh my, the phone is sleeping, I'm sorry, all the people who call, that they're sadists. They're getting a kick out of that.
Mm-hmm.
They like the idea of it. They think it sounds great.
Listen, Beth, I was reading this new Washington Post ABC News poll. You know, the president has a 70% approval rating, but the disturbing thing about it is people are basically evenly split on whether it's okay to torture.
Well, that also, I think, has to do with people can't admit that we were wrong, that we did something so horrible. I think people just would rather deny that it's wrong than say we did it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they can't face it. They can't face it. And now when you think of, you add sadism into that, people can't admit, you know, to things like that either.
Yep,
they get a little kick out of it.
Absolutely. All right. Brett in Los Angeles on the torture debate as well. Hey, Brett.
Hey, Stephanie. Yeah, I was listening to that guy, and I get so sick of listening to these people. I mean, we're going to torture so that we can protect ourselves. Well, the problem is, as soon as we start torturing, we become the threat to our own security.
Mm-hmm.
Not only do we create more of our enemy, but we abandon the rule of law, which protects us. Jim was absolutely right. Not only is it in our Constitution, if you look in our code, our federal code, the Geneva Convention is written in there.
Yep.
We're violating our own laws, which are designed to protect us.
Exactly.
And as soon as we start going down that road, what is it to protect us? We don't have anything.
Absolutely.
The World Health Organization has just confirmed 40 cases of swine flu in the U.S.
All right.
Talk about that.
Back with more breaking news on the swine flu epidemic as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
So young and live. Look at the shape of that body.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. CNN's chief medical correspondent, Elizabeth Cohen, coming up on the Celebrity Hotline to give us all the latest on the swine flu.
And she can tell us what swine flu is and why
it
can kill you.
What the hell is it? And what does it feel like?
And how do you get it?
What are the symptoms?
Well,
what actually kills you is the pneumonia as your lungs fill with fluid.
Great. So it is like the Stand.
Yes.
Great. no.
Richard in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Welcome. Is the congressman quarantine guest?
Which congressman?
All of Congress.
Ah, I see, because there's pigs. I get it. That's a swine flu joke about the congress people.
In response to the Rush Limbaugh thing.
I
Congress.
Get it.
Pigs, because they're spending money.
Okay. What? Gee, lots of breaking news this morning. Chris, could you take your organ out for me? Jim?
Hmm?
The headline is Westboro Baptist Church.
in Topeka, Kansas.
Oh, yes.
Yes,
right.
The purveyors of the GodHatesFags.com.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Those people. Westboro planning mass suicide?
What?
Really?
Oh, that would be awful.
That would be,
okay, then. That would be awful.
It's a shame to lose a human life.
Are they going to wear Nikes and tracksuits?
A cryptic blog entry posted by the Topeka, Kansas-based church says it's about time for us to leave this place. Although they may just be getting foreclosed on with this economy.
Yeah.
Maybe we're getting overly excited over nothing. I don't know.
That is kind of ominous, though.
The church says its members will be saved from the country's tolerance of gays. When we're done, we will leave your filthy land and be placed safely out of the reach of the horror that will then land on you swiftly and certainly in 1 hour. Oh, that's when the gay storm. It's like that Funny or Die piece that's online. There's going to be a gay storm with the raining of gays dropping everywhere the minute they leave. And within an hour of when Westboro departs us. Yikes.
A gale storm.
Ugh, on top of the swine flu.
A Dorothy gale storm?
Now we're going to have a gale storm.
Of course it would be a Dorothy gale storm if the gays are involved.
Oh, dear God.
Yeah, for gays who lived in the 40s.
Okay, so you know what, Republicans, including the boner,
yes,
they want more memos released because it'll show how nifty torture is and how well it works. Did you see the president had a testy exchange with the boner in front of other congressional leaders at the White House on Thursday? The president pointedly warned Republicans that further revelations might hurt their cause more than help it. But the boner didn't back off. He said Friday the Obama administration, quote, has given the American people an incomplete picture by withholding information about the intelligence we received from the advanced interrogation technique. What a boner.
And now it's time for another episode of America's favorite wacky sitcom, What a Boner.
You run along now with your friends and vote against funding for a pandemic outbreak and stuff like craziness like that that would never happen. Why don't you? And go ahead and filibuster the Health and Human Services nominee. Why don't you do that? Because why would we need that now? What a boner.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Speaking of science and other craziness like that, Al Gore testified about global warming on Friday.
Each day that we wait, we increase the risk that we will leave our children and grandchildren an irreparably damaged planet.
All right. Oh, by the way, Nudie was there. His old phone, Nudie. Let's skip to 15. Yeah, Nudie was there, frankly, talking about the craziness that is global warming.
Vice President Gore's reference to 30 cents a day came from an intellectually dishonest EPA study, which included a 150% increase in the number of nuclear power plants.
Unlike the EPA study that the Republicans are quoting completely incorrectly by saying that the tax, what are they saying? It's $300 or something, and it's actually 30 cents.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not even correcting themselves.
No, they're not.
Okay.
That's because they want you to die.
An energy tax punishes senior citizens. It punishes rural Americans. If you use electricity, it punishes you. If you use heating oil, it punishes you. If you use gasoline, it punishes you. This bill will increase your cost of living and may kill your job.
Or may kill you.
You know, it's interesting. I wouldn't have thought that. I would have thought that the Fox News coverage on Al Gore would be fair and balanced. But they make it sound almost like hysteria.
Former politicians joined the House debate on sweeping energy legislation today, including climate activist and former Vice President Al Gore, who gave an Oscar-worthy performance calling climate change a moral issue.
Oscar-worthy performance.
Moral issue.
Oscar-worthy performance. Can I be any more snarky in my delivery?
You know,
condescending.
This bogus.
He's just acting.
You know who else calls it a moral issue would be evangelical Christians, if those of you are keeping track. Interesting.
That would be their base.
Don't you love how they call him climate activist?
Mm-hmm.
Like it's sort of like a climate socialist is what they're trying to say.
Climate communist.
Craziness.
See, it's got alliteration. A climate communist.
People that think we should do something
they're
about global warming.
Yeah, it's that kind of like stealth thing that Fox does, you know, very, very snarky, but not obviously so. That just bugs the crap out of me.
Here's some bad news for Nudie. They're already doing matchups for 2012.
Frankly.
Mm-hmm. Obama leads Newt Gingrich 52% to 39%, which makes me say, please put Newt Gingrich up. Please, Republicans. Mike Huckabee, Obama beats Mike Huckabee 49% to 42%, Sarah Palin by 53% to 41%, and Mitt Romney by 50% to 39%. Oh, dear. Those are the top contenders.
Bless their hearts.
Bless their hearts for the Republican nomination.
And what's their solution, then? Nudie? What do you got? What do you think we should do?
Well, frankly, tax cuts for me.
And frankly, no abortion, frankly.
Let's go to Mary in Salt Lake City on torture. Hi, Mary. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm a criminal defense attorney and have been for several decades, and I was just wondering if I could use the same arguments for my clients that are being used, saying that we should just forget the torture stuff. Like, you know, it's been 2 years.
Because it happened in the past, right?
Right. Well, it's all in the past, and we've moved on. It's been 2 years since I cooked that meth, and I haven't committed any crime since then. So will you just dismiss the indictment? Or I've had treatment since that DUI, so just let me go. Or, you know, all my co-conspirators told me that this stock fraud scam was legal, and I believed them. So I relied on their advice. So just, you know.
Well, Mary, and somebody else brought up that, you know, even if torture works, it's beside the point. It's still illegal. You know what I mean? It's I mean, the fact is it doesn't. But, I mean, we were saying, you know, if you don't like somebody, murder works like that. You know, if you don't have any money, robbery works.
Right. And you know, if my clients are charged with possession of marijuana, the everybody does it argument doesn't fly there. So I'm not sure why it should fly for certain members of the government.
All right. Thank you, Mary. There you are. Criminal defense attorney.
Whatever.
Stickler for what's legal or not.
That's cuckoo.
Exactly.
Cuckoo bananas.
All right. Meanwhile, once again, the party of no... All they know is pretty much same thing, huh? Tax cuts, and they just are against anything that President Obama is for. Mm-hmm. Senator Harry Reid on the...
We're going to have to spend some money to get out of this hole. The government's the only body that has any money.
That is true at this point.
Thank you. Senator Mitch McChinless, the Republican of Kentucky. Jim, talking about, you know, how bipartisan the Republicans have really been.
If we see sensible bipartisan proposals, Republicans will choose bipartisan solutions over partisan failures every single time.
By bipartisan solutions, it means you do what we want.
Yes.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that we're in the minority.
You gave the president zero votes on the stimulus. I see.
Boy, that curried favor.
We're on a spending spree of gargantuan proportions here.
Whew, thank God you cut the pork of the funding in case there's a pandemic outbreak of any kind. Whew, thank God. Thank God you mocked the president or David Obie from Wisconsin who tried to put that in the stimulus bill. Whew. John Fear, the Republican strategist.
I think the Republicans are trying to reach out. I think the biggest problem with Republicans right now is that they have the Democrats running the Congress, and they have no access to actually having an input on what's going on legislatively.
They try to reach out by not voting for anything.
Yes. And in every single poll, Americans recognize that the Republicans have not reached out at all.
They're reaching out with their middle finger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, basically.
All right. 42 minutes after the hour, Elizabeth Cohen, CNN's chief medical correspondent, with all the latest you need to know about the swine flu as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is wild. I never heard anything like this in my life.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 46 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Stay tuned in just a couple of minutes. The chief medical correspondent for CNN coming up with all the latest we need to know about swine flu, about whether people need to think about keeping their kids out of school, what precautions we need to take, how bad this may get, and et cetera. The breaking news this morning, Chris LaVoy, Cub reporter.
What?
Yes. The breaking news we know thus far about swine flu this morning.
Oh,
thank you.
Yeah, the mayor of Mexico City has talked about shutting down the entire city, which is the largest city in the Western Hemisphere. And the State Department is getting ready to issue a travel advisory advising people with non-essential travel to Mexico to not go to Mexico. Mm-hmm.
The president spoke this morning briefly about the need to... what's the word, the thing we haven't been doing? Oh, science, that we really have fallen behind, you see, in the science. And things like that. He talked also about education.
This trend, a trend where a quality higher education slips out of reach for ordinary Americans, threatens the dream of opportunity that America's promised to all of its citizens. It threatens to widen the gap between the haves and the have-nots. And it threatens to undercut America's competitiveness because America cannot lead in the 21st century unless we have the best educated, most competitive workforce in the world.
You know who must have him some fancy book learning, Chris? Would
who?
Be that David Obey, the Wisconsin Democrat,
yes,
who we commented on the show.
I hear say he does.
Yes, he has long championed investment in pandemic preparation, which I know sounded like
voodoo
when he brought it up.
That's like monitoring volcanoes or some crazy stuff.
Including roughly $900 million for that purpose in this year's emergency stimulus bill. He was ridiculed by conservative operatives and congressional Republicans. Obey and other advocates for the spending argued correctly that a pandemic hitting in the midst of an economic downturn could turn a recession into something far worse, with workers ordered to remain in their homes, workplaces shuttered to avoid the spread of disease, transportation systems grinding to a halt, and demand for emergency services and public health intervention skyrocketing. Indeed, he suggested pandemic preparation was essential to any responsible plan for renewing the U.S. economy.
What a socialist.
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what he was called by Karl Rove and others, and that was just useless pork. If only there was somebody that knew something about this. Yes, Chris, who is it?
CNN's chief medical correspondent, Elizabeth Cohen.
Good morning, Elizabeth.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Thanks so much for taking time for us. You must be in demand this morning.
Oh, it has been a busy day, no question.
I imagine when people are in a panic. Let's start with that. Do we need to be in a panic about swine flu?
No, I think that public health officials have been very clear about this, that this is the key thing to remember. At this point, we are only seeing mild illnesses. So right now we have 40 confirmed cases in the U.S. That's actually double what we had an hour ago. I mean, obviously didn't double in an hour, but we just found out that the number went from 20 to 40. But as far as we know, every single one of these cases has been mild. So these are not, you know, people are not dropping dead in the streets here, thank goodness. Mm-hmm. These are people who have fever, chills, body ache, those kinds of symptoms that we've all had at some point in our life, and they recover easily. They don't need to go to the hospital for the most part. There's one person who's needed to be hospitalized, and they haven't needed to take antivirals and antiviral medications. And I think that's a really important thing to remember.
Well, you know, I think it's like, I remember, you know, I lived in New York City during 9/11, and remember, everybody thought they had anthrax. You know, the minute somebody came down with a cold or a flu, you know, the emergency rooms were jammed. Mm-hmm. We're probably going to see some of that, aren't we, where people are going to panic.
Yes, I think that you probably will see that anybody who gets these symptoms is going to want to be seen by a doctor. And that's not a bad thing. I mean, if you have a flu-like symptoms, it's not a bad idea to go to your doctor anyhow and get seen. And certainly if you have been to Mexico or if you have close contact with someone who's been to Mexico, then, you know, you definitely want to tell that to your doctor. And I want everyone to sort of keep in mind here, 36,000 Americans die of just plain old winter flu every year. So compare that to 40 ill people and people who were only mildly ill. I'm just trying to put it in some perspective here. Now, even though I know I'm saying that, I will also be clear that the CDC has said that they do expect that there probably will be deaths in this country. Hopefully not like there has been in Mexico, but it is possible that we're going to go from the mild illness that we have to seeing deaths in this country. Mm-hmm. It could happen. The CDC has been clear about that.
Elizabeth, what makes something become a pandemic, do you think? And what are your thoughts on whether this will be or not?
The definition of a pandemic is disease that is worldwide, which we're getting to now, and where there are enormous numbers of deaths and illnesses. There are, last time I looked, there were 20 confirmed deaths in Mexico alone. And so we're not seeing enormous numbers of deaths worldwide. No one would call this a pandemic yet. They would want to see enormous numbers of deaths worldwide before giving it that label.
I know that, you know, parents always become, you know, the most concerned when something like this happens. Have you heard reports? I mean, are some parents talking about keeping kids out of school? Is there should that be a concern?
Well, I haven't heard that. Actually, I haven't heard people be that concerned, and goodness knows, I've certainly sent my kids to school. In some areas, for example, in New York, there is a school that's closed because there are now 28 kids there who have confirmed cases of swine flu. And then also there is an entire school district in Texas that is closed down because they have two kids who are confirmed to have swine flu. And actually what's interesting is that in that county, in Guadalupe County, Texas, they're even telling people don't have big public gatherings. You know, don't get lots of people together at one time because you never know who's been exposed and you don't want to start spreading this.
Mm-hmm. You know, Elizabeth, what would you advise people to do about this? I mean,
you know, I think the bottom line is that you don't want to panic. and that if you experience flu-like symptoms, if you would ordinarily go to the doctor if you have a fever and body aches and chills, you should go to the doctor. Mm-hmm. And if you have been to Mexico recently or you have close personal contact with someone who's been to Mexico recently, you should tell your doctor that. For example, in Kansas, a gentleman went to Mexico on business, came back, had swine flu, and then gave it to his wife.
You know, I have to say, Elizabeth, we were sitting here in our studio in Los Angeles this morning going, pretty much all of us in Los Angeles have had contact with someone that's been to Mexico recently. So.
Right. You know what? That's an excellent point. I mean, that's actually not true for people like me who live in Atlanta. So that's an excellent point. So I think that if you are concerned that you live in a place where people come and go from Mexico often and you come down with these symptoms, you should go to the doctor and you should say, hey, you know what, I take buses frequently, or I go to movies, or I'm around lots of people.
I leave the house occasionally.
Frequently. I'm sorry?
Yeah, I leave the house occasionally. Should I be concerned?
I think that people do live different lives and probably have different levels of exposure to large groups of people. But certainly, if you come down with those symptoms and you think that you've been in contact with people who've been to Mexico recently, you should definitely tell your doctor.
I've never been so happy to have the lack of a social life that I do, Elizabeth. I'm essentially an elderly shut-in. And see, I'm ahead of my time on that. Let me ask you, what's the difference in symptoms with swine flu or regular flu? Is it the same symptoms? I mean, what are the symptoms exactly?
Well, that's part of the problem is, as far as they know, they really are the same symptoms. And so I would almost guarantee you that everyone who's listening right now has had some form of an illness like this, where you have body aches, you have fever, you have chills. I mean, a lot of us have had these symptoms before. So we're not talking about, you don't start winking. This is not some bizarre illness.
It's not like Ebola virus where your face starts melting or something.
No, there's no face melting. There is no face melting.
In baseball or anywhere else.
Yeah.
Are there different strains of this virus? I mean, could a milder strain maybe immunize people against the more disastrous one?
From what they found so far, they found one strain that is common to both the U.S. cases and the Mexican cases. Now, as far as the vaccine goes, they have talked about how that could not be done quickly. Mm-hmm. It takes some time to get a vaccine together. Now, if you, I don't know if any of you are old enough. I am old enough where I remember the swine flu outbreak in 1976, and where they did start doing large-scale vaccinations, and that kind of ended up biting them in the butt a little bit because they had to stop it.
Literally.
And there was some suspicion that people who got those vaccines really didn't need them, that this illness was really not such a big deal, and then they might have gotten sick from the vaccine.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I think they would think twice, 3 times, 100 times before starting to vaccinate people.
But Elizabeth, why is this, I mean, is this more deadly? You know, because when things like this happen, right, you hear bird flu or swine flu, it seems like, I mean, but if you get it, you're not necessarily going to die, right, is what you're saying. It is curable.
Well, no. I mean, 40 people have had this illness, swine flu, in the United States. And as far as we know, nobody has died. Only one person's even had to go to the hospital.
Mm-hmm,
I mean, we're talking mild illness. We're talking people who didn't even have to take drugs to recover. They just recovered.
But why did it kill people in Mexico and not here, do you think?
That's the $1 million question.
Thank you.
That is what everyone's trying to figure out.
Okay.
And so there are CDC officials who are, you must be very smart, because these CDC officials are asking the same question that you're asking on the ground in Mexico.
No, that was a lucky shot. But
that was a lucky shot. Maybe it's because in Mexico, in addition to the swine flu virus, people are also getting other viruses, and that compounds the problem.
Okay.
Maybe it's because there's just something different about healthcare there. I mean, there's 100 things it could be.
Okay.
Maybe not 100, but there's a lot of things it could be.
Elizabeth Cohen, you are you're the most popular girl in school this morning, and thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay,
we appreciate it. There she goes.
Yay!
Chief medical
senior
correspondent.
Medical correspondent.
Senior medical correspondent.
Yes. She knows about science and stuff.
That was such a lucky shot. I had no idea what I was talking about.
I was going to ask that as well.
That's it for us today. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.